the one hey, have a great day. body
spirit and vessels to you.
Amen.
Gloria. Well, it's a privilege to be here. Amen. For most of you, I don't know you, and you don't know me, so we're both in good shape. And, but it's a privilege to be here with you. And I certainly love the pastor, Brother Mike. He's been such a blessing in our church, and we just count it a privilege to be able to come and be a part of this meeting. You know the desire we have to have a meeting for the young people. Amen. It is, actually, it's God's desire. That's His burden that God placed upon man. Amen. For your sake. So this meeting is for your sake. For God's knowledge. He placed it upon our brother. They brought it together. And now you're here. So this is a predestinated event. I believe that God is going to do something special for you. I believe that He's going to meet your needs, that He's going to save you, He's going to heal you, He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. And because we believe He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
So it's so good to be here with Brother John Andes. Brother John's a personal friend, and we kind of almost grew up at the same time together many years ago, right? And now we're older, but it's certainly wonderful to see one all for the Lord and just standing for the Lord. We don't have as much of that as we used to, you know. Amen. But to see people that God has touched and they're still standing for Him. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. Of course, Brother Ron.
Amen.
I love him like an older brother. An older brother. Amen. His son. Amen. Brother Paul. This is just a joy to be here. We just certainly feel the presence of God. Amen. Can we just bow our heads for a prayer? Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to say, Lord, first of all, how we love you. Thank you, Father, for all the wonderful things, the benefits that you have given to us. Lord, we just want to say thank you that you can bring us together like this. We have something in common tonight, Lord. Lord, it's the truth, the message that you've given us that's brought us together like this. You know, if it hadn't been for your word, we would not know one another. But Lord, you brought us together in this time, and we just pray, Lord, for something special to happen. Lord, in the lives of these young people, so much effort was put together, Lord, by the brothers of this church and the sisters, Lord, and it's on their heart, Lord, to do something, Lord, for them. And now we're here, and it's happening. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will have free reign amongst
yes.
them, Lord. Lord, that you would inspire them, help them, Lord. This is the first night of the service, but may there not have to be any ice to be broken, but may there just be complete liberty that
yes.
your Holy Spirit will have its way. We love you, Lord. We commit ourselves to you. We just ask you, Lord, to be magnified in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. If you turn in your Bibles and to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, we're going to read the first three verses and let you be seated. Amen. I believe that in every service, because God believes in going to church, and it's something that God has ordained, is that we would come together like this. Said that if God manages a way to get a man into his presence, and then once that man is in his presence, then they have to make their decision. We believe that we're in his presence tonight. And we believe that maybe some of you have not made that decision for the Lord. We believe that tonight, amen, that your hearts will turn. Know that if you're predestinated to life, you're believing, you'll hang on to, amen, what he tells you. But the prophet said if they're not predestinated to life, they're trying to get away and say, well, there's nothing to it. But we don't want to believe that we have anyone in here like that. We want to believe that all of you are like Moses or Pharaoh. We're not going to leave one behind.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to take power.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Lord bless you.
the first three verses. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Amen. You can be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I'd like you also to turn to the book of Psalms. From the book of Psalms, we're going to take our thought and our title. I'm just going to read to you the chapter. And it is called The Midtown of David. The Midtown of David. And that means Midtown means, and if I can find it here, and I can't find it, so just look at one another and say, Lord, help him to find it, because Brother Danny needs it. It used to be, you know when I found it, but you know where I found it? Right where I was looking. I just left it. Midtown means golden, and other places they say it means secret, so this chapter is called The Song of the Golden Secret. And we want to look at that. I want to title this tonight, I Have a Goodly Heritage. I have a goodly heritage. David says, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. So where is the delight of the Lord tonight? It's in the saints of the earth.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Their sorrows shall be multiplied and hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
Amen.
So we're going to title this tonight, I Have a Goodly Heritage. The prophet was speaking on that day on Calvary. He said, first, we should see what that day meant. Second, we should see what that day has done for us. And now, thirdly, we should look at what we ought to do for that day. Amen. He said that day on Calvary, there was one who came down from glory by the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came from glory and Calvary was formed. How many believe that Calvary, and it was a day, it wasn't just a random day. It wasn't just a day that came because, okay, we decided the people were going to need something to happen to catch their attention. No, but we know that this was a day that was predestinated from before the foundation of the world. And then the Bible says that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. So it was a day that God had in his heart. It was a day that God planned. It was a day that God foreshadowed. And it was a day that down through all the thousands of years of Scripture, he's pointing to that day and said, there's coming a day that I'm going to do something for the human race, but I'm not just going to do it for the world. I'm going to do it for my children. It's going to be a day that's going to impact the whole world, but it's a day that I have come to pay the price that I have predestinated my children, that they can look on that day and see what that day meant for them.
Amen.
Young got that from the mind of God, because God said that. Amen. That God pre-planned your day. God pre-planned your coming. Amen. He pre-planned your coming as much as He pre-planned the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because what was in the Lord had to be manifested. He planned the days that you would come and said it so.
Amen.
So you're here tonight, and it's not by choice or rather by chance, but you're here because it's a predestined event. How many believe that?
Amen.
Now that day was such an important day, amen, that it shook the world. Right?
Amen.
It shook it like it was never shook before.
Right.
Amen. And why was it? It was because when Jesus died, it paid the sin question. Right?
Amen.
And the sinful world had a blackout. The sun went down in the middle of the day. It had a nervous prostration. And the rock shook. The mountains rent. And dead bodies bursted from the grave. Amen. What did it do? And I just want to say this to you young people. So maybe the Lord can form something in your mind that you can zero in on. Amen. Because the prophet said that day, God zeroed in on Calvary.
Amen.
And in that day, He wounded that animal called Satan forever.
Amen.
Right? And now, since that day, Satan has been more vicious than he's ever been. He's been more deceptive than he's ever been. But it's because he was wounded with such a wound that he knows, amen, that he's lost the power that he once had over the human race.
Amen.
That day on Calvary made the way that man no longer had to live under superstition.
Amen.
They no longer had to live under tradition.
Amen.
That day on Calvary paid the sin price. And then it did not only pay the sin of past, it paid the sin of future.
Amen.
Man, when the angel came to Mary, he didn't be affiliated. Now that we show up, now that we dress right, and we can sing, and we can do this, we look like it. Well, that makes me a believer, no.
Zoo, it's not
not where you hand them out little crackers. This is where you listen to what the leader says.
Amen.
Now the man dressed like it. He had the knife like it. And now we're in the camp. So we're going to, what we have now, we've been given orders. We're going to take watches during the night. Amen. Two men have to stay up together and they spend about two and a half hours, and that's their shift, and then they go to bed, and then the other two get up because you got to watch. In the meantime, the brother had drugged this zebra all around the camp. Okay, so he's getting the scent all out there, and then he leaves a plane out just not too far from where we were going to sleep. And you can hear off in the distance, you can hear the lions roaring, you can hear there's no cage between you, and this is in the bush, all right? But this experience with the elephants has so shook this last truck that they sat in their chairs all night long with their flashlights going like this. We never got to sleep with the brethren, but we did get to sleep with flashlights going on across our face all the time. We took our turn. These guys never went to sleep. They stayed up the whole time. We took our turn and we went back to sleep. In the morning come, none of the predators had come in. We saw on the edge of the camp where there were some prints where some hyenas had come and so forth and looked, but nothing come in to eat. So the whole experience of the whole camp was ruined because somebody didn't follow what the leader said. But yet, they dressed the part. They looked the part.
That's right.
They had all the necessary weapons.
That's right.
And everything they needed. But it was different than what they thought it would be.
Amen. Amen.
You know what happened? Their fear ruined the whole experience. I got up in the morning and the brother told me, he said, you know, we watched a red Roman crawl across the ground and it went right over to where you were. And a red Roman, it looks like a spider, but it's not. But it has a powerful bite. They get maybe about that big and they look like tarantulas, but they're not. They're something. Well, this thing had crawled right over my body and right up. You know why? They said, we watched that do that. Well, what held him in the chair? I thought, why didn't you go get it? So are you real or are you fake?
Yeah.
You see, you can look the part, you can have it all, and then, but this is different than what you imagined.
Amen.
That's what that day on Calvary meant.
Amen.
were torn down in this nation.
Amen.
And then when you go in the city, there's monuments to all kinds of men and women that's had impact on the human race. Impact on science. Impact on math. Impact on politics. Impact on world affairs. Impact on war. And people all stopped and they're taking a picture. Amen. But none of them have the impact. They're all ignoring. Amen. The one that made the impact, that did not only shake earth, it shook him. There's somehow that I could transfer from me to you young people what this meant. That day on Calvary, he said, I have a good heritage. This is the spirit of inspiration in David saying this. I have a good heritage. It was the spirit of Christ in him.
Amen.
Looking at what was set before him.
Amen.
And looking at the lines that had been placed. He said, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. You know, under the heritage that was given to Israel, amen, they were given their inheritance, and their lots were marked out in lines, and their lots were marked out with rocks placed in the corners so people would know what their inheritance was. And they could look at the lines, they could look at the rocks and say, this is my inheritance. And it wasn't just a family inheritance, but it was an inheritance that was given by inspiration of God. So it was God that gave them that inheritance, because in reality, that land wasn't theirs, it was God's land.
Amen.
He said, if you treat my land wrong, he said, the land itself will vomit you out. So this was God's land. And so what he gave you was his inheritance.
Yes.
And they could look at that and say, this is where I live. This is where I'm supposed to pass down to my family. And let no man move the ancient landmarks. Because you'd get some fellow that would come up, he would take a rock, he might move it a few inches, but a few inches a year become a feet, and our feet become, amen, yards, and yards become when you get the picture.
Yeah.
Amen.
Wow. And that's the way Satan does.
Amen.
He took your inheritance and he tried to narrow it down and narrow it down and move the rocks and move the lines until you weren't really sure what your inheritance was. But we've been given an inheritance. We've been given a heritage.
Amen.
The rest of the church inheritance is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Everything you need in Him is in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen. But here's Jesus Christ looking through the eyes of David and saying, I have a goodly heritage. I have something given to me. It's worth me coming and dying for.
Amen. Thank God.
It's falling to me in pleasant places. Now, friends, don't just get a pleasant feeling and think that this is a good scripture. This was more than a good scripture, because this is the inspiration that Jesus was going to use to go to Calvary.
Amen.
Except for the joy that was set before him. You've heard the Calvary story over and over, but it should never be old, because Calvary, this message is a production of what Calvary is. Paid the price at Calvary.
Amen.
And you were chosen to be the last part of the line.
Amen.
That he looked down and said, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places.
Yeah.
I have a goodly heritage.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So God, what careful attention he is giving to his own beloved. And I want to draw attention to this, because we must begin to see the great love wherewith he loved you. Let me just tell you, every desire you have in Christ, every bit of wanting that you have, and it did not come from you. And to have that desire, it had to come from God himself.
Amen.
Amen.
That is a gift in itself, that he would give you a hunger and a draw.
Yes.
Amen. And may it culminate. May it culminate in these meetings.
Amen.
Amen. That the burden that's on my brother may, amen, it be great sacrifice.
Yes.
It came through other men opening up the way so you could come.
Amen.
Other lives made it easier for you to come.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's something that you can look to and say, God, you did that.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Glory.
Here's Jesus. It wasn't an easy message. It wasn't an easy sacrifice. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
What he did, amen, at that time, knowing what lay before him, you think about it now, knowing what mockery he was going to go through, knowing the questions he was going to be asked, and he wouldn't answer them, knowing the signs that they were going to ask him to give, and he wouldn't give them. You understand, he could have done all of that. But Jesus was going to see his life come to a personal place where he'd be weaker than he ever was. And he was going to experience the full range of human weakness. Because he would know, amen, that there would come the hour, young people, you would be so weak. You could look to that weakness and say, his grace is sufficient.
Amen. Amen.
He was going to be whipped. He was going to be crucified in the most cruelest fashion that there would be. And he knew that it lay before him. And he was going to meet it without the anointing that God had given. But he was going to have a remembrance. And his remembrance was going to be, I have a good heritage. And no doubt it was said of him that as he's walking down into that darkest valley, he'd already come through Gethsemane. Let me just say it like this. God doesn't invite everybody to his special places.
That's right.
You understand? He didn't even invite all of his disciples to go with him. But when he'd go do something special was going to happen, he'd always invite Peter, James, and John. Always the same. Peter, James, and John. They went with him to Transfiguration. They went with him to Gethsemane.
Amen.
Why was it? Because each one stood for something. One stood for hope. One stood for love. One stood for faith.
Amen.
Is that right? Brother Ben said, these are the three elements that God can use in any church, amen, to fulfill his word.
Amen.
That's all he wants. Hope, faith, and love.
Amen.
And I hope tonight, amen, and this is godly hope. This is in your hope. The hope, amen, that would abound in you.
Amen.
In believing in the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And he invited him with him. You know, and they as men, they failed him there in Gethsemane. Because for sorrow, they fell asleep. But he sat there and he kept on pressing through. It wasn't an easy message. He came to the place and said, not my will, but thine be done. And when he said that, when he surrendered himself, there appeared an angel from heaven strengthening him. I'm telling you, you are never alone when you have to make the hardest decisions. And then, but I'm telling you, this wasn't fake. This wasn't, amen, I think I can ride this horse. This was not my will, but thine be done.
Amen.
And he knew that if he's going to go there, he's going to have to suffer the cruelest death.
Yes.
Amen, he's going to have to do it. Amen, he's going to have to come to a place where he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yes.
He's going to experience the fullest range of human emotion. But he has said, I have a good heritage.
Amen.
And as he's going down into that dark valley, these words keep Paul saying in him. Because you know the Spirit has left him in the garden. He had to die as a man. He couldn't die as God. If he died as God, amen, he wouldn't die.
Amen.
But he had to die as a man. Amen. That's why they didn't understand Jesus, because he was a dual person. Amen. They'd look at him and they'd see him. He looked like a carpenter's son. He had brothers and he had sisters when he looked like a man. But there never was a man that spake like that man. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then they looked at him and said, we don't know, is that you speaking? What do you mean by that? They didn't know. He was confusing to them. And then they saw him weep like a man. Amen. And you read this, you read the account of it in the book of John 11, where it says he wouldn't come when they asked him to come to pray for a sick brother. He didn't come. Five isn't unto death. Then the news comes to Jesus. He knows that Lazarus has died, but he's already said the sickness is not unto death. He said, let's go now after 4 days, and let's go see Lazarus, because he sleepeth. And they said, oh, that's good. He's sleeping. The sickness must be broken. He knew they didn't understand. So he said, Lazarus is dead. Now, can you imagine the confusion in their minds? Because he's already said, they had the quote.
Go ahead.
Lazarus has died.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
This isn't just a prophet saying, this is a God prophet.
Amen.
He said, Lazarus has died. Now, Lazarus, amen, we don't not die. Then he says, Lazarus has died.
Amen.
Which one was right? Which Jesus was right? Tell you, this message isn't for faith. Amen. This message is a spiritual application. This message is the supernatural power of God. This thing will not make sense to you unless it's a supernatural application.
Amen.
The disciples looked at him and said, look, you want to go back to Galilee where you want to go up there and they want to kill you there in Jerusalem? They want to do this to you? He said, well, let's go. Thomas sarcastically says, let's go that we can die with him. It wasn't pleasant following him on everything. So now they're following a man that they don't understand, who said something they didn't understand, who said Lazarus would not die, that he said he would die, that he did die. What am I following? And when they get there, and then here comes Martha running out, Lord, if my brother, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Now he's dead. Jesus said, I tell you, if you believe me, you'll see the glory of God. Yes, Lord, I know. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. They just didn't know when again was.
Amen.
They thought again was in the resurrection. Okay. Yes, Lord, I know the resurrection comes. Amen. That my brother will rise again. Thank you for quoting the quote that I already know. And Jesus said, I say to you, I am the resurrection of life. Probably didn't understand that either. Said, yes, Lord, I believe that. I believe that. But I don't understand it, but I believe it.
Uh-huh.
Then she goes and gets her sister and says, the Lord is here and he's calling for you. And so Mary comes running out, weeping at his feet. And Jesus says, let me go see the tomb. Okay, this is a man. He wants to see where he's dead, where he's buried. I want to see him. And they go and everybody gathers around him and they're all crying and they're walking up. And here's Jesus. He's listening to him. He begins to cry.
Yeah.
And they all, how our Lord loved him. He was experiencing the full rage.
Yeah.
He cried like a man.
Yeah.
Because he was a man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he stood in front of the grave and the tears quit falling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he looked at them and he says, Martha, roll away the stone. The one that said Lazarus, amen, was not my Lazarus. The one that said Lazarus was going to die, is it the one that cried, who's talking to me?
Yeah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The prophet said, why didn't Jesus just move away the stone?
Yeah.
He had the power.
Yes, he
could have just spoken and said, stone, roll away.
Yes,
but he wanted her to do something.
Yes.
Amen, young people, God still needs you to do something. Somehow got that stone rolled back. They all stepped back and looked. Now what's he going to do? He's been dead 4 days. His nose has fallen in. Corruption has set in. But then Jesus stood there and he straightened up that little body and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And they looked. Now what did he just say? This has been a strange week. First he misdiagnosed what was wrong with him. Then he comes back to where they wanted to kill him. We see him weep like a man. Now he tells us, move away the stone. Now he's crying out into the blackness. two or three semis hit this car, twisted it, blew it to pieces. I've got the pictures, mangled it. When the paramedics arrived, this boy was in the passenger front passenger seat. He's laying there, and they said, "We're going to just put him in a gurney. There's no hope for this boy. He's dead." They pulled him out. Somehow he was still living. Amen. They took him to the hospital, called the parents, and said, "We need your permission to sign a form so we can harvest his organs while his body is still warm. We need to give them." Amen. To help someone else. He survived that. Not the harvesting of the organs. Amen. But he didn't die. Amen. His back was shattered. They said, if he would ever come out of this, he'll never walk again. He'll always be in a wheelchair. This boy at this time is 20, 21 years old. Amen. They put him in a coma. They kept him in a coma for 2 weeks while he's in that coma. And then many, many prayers were gone forth. While he's in that coma, his back knit totally back together. Gabriel was a pastor who held the camp. And they was coming with drugs. Not all wrecks are of the devil.
Amen.
God stopped them dead. Almost literally.
Yeah.
3 years later, he comes back to the camp for the first time. And he comes to the front. And he said, "I want to give a testimony." He said, and he gave his whole account of that wreck. And he said, "I want to say that wreck was for me." He said, "All them others that are in the world," he said, "but that wreck was for me." And he came back and he said, I want the Holy Ghost. And he said, "I want to serve the Lord." He said, "My body's been totally restored. I can do whatever I want to. I wasn't supposed to walk. I wasn't supposed to live." He said, "But I'm coming back. Amen. And I want God to live in my heart." I want to tell you, amen, it is God who writes the final chapter, not the devil.
Sends the
no asking, is this the one? Should I look for another? And you know what? Jesus answered his question. He never answered Herod's, but he answered his. He knew for every son and daughter of God, he'll stop and take the time. He'll take the time to tell you who you are, like he told you John was. He said, there's never been a man born of a woman like that man. He'll stop the time tonight and tell you, I have a good heritage, and you're part of that heritage. He stopped the time and said, and if you go back and tell him what you saw happen in my life. You saw the sick here. So many young people nowadays come to me and said, oh, I'm searching. I said, what do you mean you're searching? Said, I saw you baptized. I saw you stand up in front of the church and say what God did for you. Now you want to come to me and tell me you're searching. I want to tell you something. You have a problem for what you said about God. What do you mean you're searching? There's nothing to search for. I have found the pearl of great price. And I've left everything and went after that. Amen. I said, if you really want to be honest, the reason you say you're searching is because you found something you don't want to let go of.
Amen.
There's a little girlfriend, a little boyfriend, a little something in the world, little things you build on the side, little things you're hiding from your parents, because it's really easy to hide things in this day and age.
Come on.
Would you rather I get back and talk about that other boy? But we're talking about you. He said, well, I'm searching, Brother Danny. Not anymore. Because he's answering your questions while you're in your prison.
Amen.
Prisons don't have to be places of destruction.
Right.
There's some prisons that God will let you out of, but there's others he won't.
Amen.
You know, there's a man by the name of Paul. He never asked them to deliver him of his chain.
That's right.
You know, he's chained for, I don't know, a couple of years. He's chained to an elite guard. You know, we just went up to the capital. Thank you, Brother Mike, for doing that. Right, Brother Don? Say thank you. All right. We went to the capital. I'm just trying to keep it in the spirit. Amen. We went to the capital. There's guards everywhere. You can't hardly breathe without the guard. Hey. What are you doing? They're all looking at you like you're the next one. Right? Okay. You come up and look at you. They're everywhere. You know, Paul was chained to one of these guys for 2.5 years. He didn't give up. Every night, amen, they changed the guard, they changed and put a new one on him. And he's chained to him. He had no privacy. For 2.5 years. What did Paul do for 2.5 years? I'm searching, saints. You know what he did in that 2.5 years? He wrote the book of Ephesians, the book of Philippians, the book of Colossians, the book of Timothy. Correct. What would you say? not dead, he's dying, he's dead, he's not sick, he's going by, he's dead. You better throw away your intellect, you better pick up his.
Amen.
And because this is the power of life. And then Paul said, when I come to you, you want to argue with me, when I come to you, he said, I'm not going to know your words, I'm going to know your power.
Amen.
You know what he's talking about? He said, if you've got the word of God in you, that word comes in you and it turns into power.
Yes.
It gives you power to live what you eat. Together, it says, I've made one blood.
Amen.
One blood. In Christ, there's new, neither Jew nor Greek.
Amen.
human assistance.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Don't you see this is what's happening tonight? Human assistance.
Amen.
We're still helping the Holy Spirit because He wants us to.
God.
He's laying there. And Simon comes over. Had to take courage for that man.
Yeah.
To walk in the midst of them devils. Because all the devils of hell are pouring on here at this moment. Here's this man in his weakest moment. How could this guy even survive? Amen. The walk to the cross, they're thinking. Because they've seen many men dying of the whipping.
That's right.
Before they ever get to the cross. And when he gets to the cross, everything is open. Now they're going to bind his hands and his feet to the cross. And they're not going to allow him, amen, to brush away the bugs that are going to come into the open wounds and bring even more torment. And he's laying there. And here comes Simon the Cyrene, and he walks over to him. He picks up the cross. Brother Ram says, no doubt there's blood on that cross. He begins to drip down his cheek. And they make the journey to Calvary. Then Jesus, by maybe Simon heard him muttering, and it seemed like a deranged man sitting there, and his face so swollen, but his lips were still moving. I have good heritage. You won't suffer by holy water. And he's so weak. Here's this man who carries the cross, and he dies. He dies on the cross, screaming like a man. Bows his head and dies. But in his weakest state, before he bows his head, two thieves, one on each side, they're screaming. One of them saying, yeah, if you're God, take us down off the cross. And the other looked across and said, look, we deserve our portion. This man doesn't deserve it. This thief saw something in the weakest moment of Jesus. He saw something in the weakest moment that he could believe and look at him and say, remember me. And Jesus in his weakest moment could look at that thief and say, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Said, we've come up front on the bus.
Because I believe that if Jesus can do it for him, he can do it for me.
Yeah.
Amen. Brother Ben said, you don't believe that, do you, sister? You don't believe God's still like that. Says, yes, sir, I believe that. Because you don't believe that he still heals the sick and opens the eyes of the blind. I said, yes, sir, I believe that. As a matter of fact, he says, amen, if you lead me to that man, I'll find my daddy myself.
Strange look on her face, said, Sister Edna, he said, it's Brother Branham, and he's asking for you.
picks up the phone and Brother Branham says, "Hello, Sister Edna. This is Brother Branham. I'm just calling to tell you happy birthday." Now I'm going to ask you a question. Who told him that it was her birthday, and why did he call her to wish her happy birthday?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you why. Because God looked down through the course of time and said, "The lines have fallen into me in pleasant places, and I have a goodly heritage. One day there's going to be a church in Sarasota, Florida that's going to need that woman's testimony. It's going to be built because of that woman's testimony. And I need that kind of determination." And I just want to remind her I know her birthday. If he knows the day she's born, he knows the day she leaves. He knew where he was. She was before the foundation of the world. My grandmother asked a question in the COD book. No doubt you've read it. Says, "I have two daughters married to men in the denominations. They have received opposition. What should they do?" How many's ever read that? Amen. Well, that's my grandmother asking a question about my dad and my mom. What should they do? You know what my brother has said? Stand fast. Show your colors. What is he saying? Don't be ashamed of the message that you have.
Amen.
There was a man in the midst of the torment of the Savior, stepped out alone and picked up a cross. He wasn't ashamed to do it. Show your colors. I don't say don't go, amen, and around in fellowship with them, but when it comes, amen, to eating food, he said, "You know, a dove can't eat with a buzzard." Brother Randall called my dad a buzzard. Didn't mean he was a buzzard, he just called him one. Right? Is he sick or is he dead? What is he? The persecution of my mother got so strong, she'd go back to my mom. But sometimes my dad would throw her out of the house and send her back home and say, "I just don't want you in the house." She'd go back home. He'd take her clothes, throw them in the yard, find anything resembling the message and go destroy it. She had nothing. He moved her literally all over the country. Moved her to Sarasota, Florida in 1968. I was born there. Moved her to California while Brother Branham was still alive. Lived up in Big Bear Lake above San Bernardino. When Brother Branham was preaching things that are being said, "Amen, the orange blossoms are here in the valley and the snow's up there in the mountains." And my dad was sitting up there in the snow when Brother Branham was saved. My dad bought land in New Mexico because he's getting my mom out of the message. We have that land to this day. You still can't put a house on. But I have a good heritage.
Amen.
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 Amen. And so it went on and on. We went to Florida, and Dad went around through the little town there, Mennonite town. It says my wife's in a cult. They believe some strange doctrine about a snake and a woman, and it's just some kind of, it's just a mess. And they just testified the best they could against me. He said, "Brother, that's in heaven. I don't want to go." Well, I got news for you. If the Pope's in heaven, I want to go. Don't you? That means something happened to him before he went. My dad wasn't thinking, he was just hating. Amen. And so he tried to disrupt the meetings that they was having in Lima, Ohio. He'd call on the phone when they're in the house meeting. He'd go outside, squeal the tires. Tried everything he could. But Brother Branham said, "Hold fast and show your colors." Maybe there's someone like that here tonight. I don't know. I'm experiencing this at home. Maybe you're receiving opposition. My mother received such opposition, she'd go back to my grandmother and say, "Mom, are you sure this message is the truth?" And my mom, my grandmother would say, "There's nothing else that I know of."
Yes,
my mom would just hold on. After 10 years, my uncle wanted to be baptized. He was a drug addict. He'd been in Vietnam, come back. He was a hippie drug addict. But he wanted to be baptized. My mom told my dad about it and said, "Yeah, that's the kind that believes this message, drug addicts and hippies." Amen.
Amen.
Such were some of you.
Amen.
But you've been washed. See, he didn't know what it meant to be washed. She said, "Can I go to his baptism?" He said, "If you go, when you come back," he said, "I'm gone and the kids are gone." He said, "I'm done with it. This is it. It's finished." But Brother Benjamin said, "Hold fast. Show your colors." And she said, "I'm going to go in." Amen. Now she's made her stand. came down on my dad because really in his heart he didn't want to lose his family. He didn't want to lose his wife. But he hated this message and he knew it couldn't go on. He said, I put my hands in my pocket. He said, I began to cry. He said, but they weren't genuine tears. He said, they were crocodile tears. I was just feeling sorry for myself. He said, but when God came to me, he said, it wasn't in a church. It wasn't at the altar. He said, I was in my kitchen. He said, he dropped down from my dad. He just turned around and looked at him and said, I'll tell you. He took him to the baptism. Everybody got scared. Hey, why is Johnny coming? A week later, my dad was baptized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder on this first night, if we have any young people here tonight want to take courage and say, Lord, I heard the word preached to me tonight. I heard you say that you had a good heritage. That good heritage I heard about, I heard that you just ignored the enemy and just took the word, and at this, your weakest moment, the word overcame. I want to make a stand for you tonight, Lord. Say, Lord, I want to be a part of this heritage. I believe I'm a part of it. The lines are falling to me in pleasant places because the mercy of God is speaking to my heart. Is there any young people here who want to say, I want to live for Him? God bless you. God bless you. What a great treasure. What a great treasure. You're responding tonight. In an age when monuments are being torn down, God has built them up. And He's raising up vessels, living epistles. That He will point to, like He said, I'll point to the Queen of Sheba and said, she came up from the south to hear Solomon. And there's a greater than Solomon here.
Yes.
Amen. And tonight there's a greater than all of them here.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's the one you're responding to. You're not responding to Danny Stephen. You're responding to the voice of the Holy Spirit that's speaking to your heart and saying, you're part of my heritage. You're not raising your hand in vain. Lord Jesus, this has been the first night, but what a wonderful presence that has come into this room. And Lord, you're working on the hearts of these young people. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ now that it won't just be a lifting up of hands, but it'll be a confirming of the desire. It'll be the inspired word coming into an inspired believer, Father. There has to be something happen when they come together. Lord, you have a good heritage. And if the lines are falling to you in pleasant places, and they're pulling that line to you tonight, and they're bringing them unto me, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Young people, you raise your hands if you want to come forward for prayer. If you want to be specific about what you want prayer for, you're welcome to come. Amen. God knows your heart. God knows what you have. We're going to pray for you tonight. We're going to believe, amen, that what you've asked for, God's going to grant it to you.
Yes.
Amen. Brothers, will you just help me and just come here and gather around and just lay hands upon you? God bless you. Amen. 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 These are great victories tonight. Amen. Man, you know what? Each soul is worth 10,000 words. Amen. This is not in vain. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ.
where you are. Who you are, man. The man you call Lazarus for the food. Prophesy through David. His body would not see corruption. But before he went to the grave, before he went to the tomb, he proved it by bringing Lazarus forth, the one who had corruption. He went to the cross, knowing. Brother Branham said he was the only one that could resurrect himself.
Run.
And he said he's showing us that, that the resurrection power lives in us.
Run.
Yes, sir.
Some of us will never taste death because we'll have a transition.
Run.
We'll just go from this life.
Amen.
Young people, serve him because he is that God that knows where you are.
Run.
That loves you. Who doesn't say that I'm a rider?
Lord.
And that same man that said, no, I'm not a rider. But he became a prophet.
Lord.
If you want to talk about riding this trail again, that word right now is riding this trail.
Yes, sir.
He's speaking, thus said the Lord to us, through the prophet's message of the hour. He's riding this trail. Are you ready to ride with me? We're riding on, thus said the Lord tonight, friends. It's the Holy Ghost that sent the messenger that we have.
Yes.
We should be leaving with all our heart.
Yes.
Don't you never speak against this message,
Lord,
or this prophet. If you don't understand, we'll pray for you. Jesus confused him, didn't he? He's asleep. No, he's dead. Wasn't that wonderful? So which Jesus do you believe?
Hopefully.
We believe the one that speaks in the mystery that reveals only to the bride. And that's the Jesus we believe. Not the one that lets you just cut your hair and wear shorts and bikinis. No, that's not the Jesus we're talking about.
Come on.
We're talking about that Jesus is hiding in simplicity in your life, and that the power of the Holy Ghost lets you walk holy and live holy when you go to college, when you go to work. We serve that Jesus
Christ
who does not change his dress code. We serve a living Savior.
Thank you.
chain that's binding you tonight, if you didn't get set free by the word tonight, you wasn't paying attention. The Holy Ghost was speaking to you.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost was breaking chains right where you sat. It's not that you had to come to the altar. You would have received it right while you were sitting in your chair tonight, because I did. I'll tell you, while I was sitting here, I didn't mind that he grabbed me and jerked me out of my seat, brother. I'll tell you, that's what God needs to do. He needs to grab some of you and jerk you out of your seat. I told you so. I called you out of this bed. What are you waiting on? He broke some of my chains tonight. You said, I'm looking at the pastor. I don't care. The devil wants to bind everybody. But my God's breaking the chain.
Yes, sir.
Circumstance, situations, my God, sit in church. Why don't you just let him break a few more of your chains? Set you free. Hallelujah. I've been set free.
Amen.
Like that eagle, man, I'm just soaring. Hallelujah. This is the eagle's message.
Yes, sir.
This is your message.
I see it today.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
We're just going to sing one more song. I want to ask you a question for you. Can you stand by yourself when you're not in church? When you're sitting in your college and you're on your job, can you stand for Jesus? Appreciate what Danny preached the last time.